the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride. And you have questions. And only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
It's definitely football season. Tonight, we get the Hall of Fame game in the NFL. The top 25 USA Today coaches poll preseason rankings come out earlier. And we are just a couple of weeks away from the start of the high school football season. In fact, next week, the scrimmage games for both Carbon and Emory will take place on Friday. And so we're really counting down the days. Emory football will make its return to KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM on August 18th as Emory travels to meet the Richfield Wildcats. In the meantime, Emory will prepare for what will be a 9-game regular season schedule before entering that play-in round in Week 10. Joining us right now to talk about the first official week of practice, which started on Monday, we have second-year head coach John Famalo. Coach, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, not a problem. Appreciate having me on, Jordan.
I always look forward to it, Coach. The season is really upon us. I mean, it's amazing how fast the summer has actually gone by. Now we're into the first week of August, and next week we have the Black and Gold game. So this is the first week of official practices, Coach. So how have things gone up to this point?
Actually good. I mean, we had a pretty good summer. We had, you know, quite a few kids show up, and so, you know, we're probably ahead of schedule for the fact that we had a lot of the same kids participating in the summer and, you know, now in football, so it's not like we're seeing a whole lot of new faces and having to, you know, start from scratch. And so, you know, I think we're probably ahead of the game, if anything, at this point.
As far as the new offense goes, Coach, and you guys switching things up, I mean, has that been difficult, or are you about where you think this team should be trying to grasp new concepts, you know, 2 weeks before the season?
You know, and honestly, it's been difficult, but at the same time, because this is a coaching staff, we're working things out to ourselves. And so, you know, I think, like you say, having camp the end of July and trying to figure out some things that way and then transitioning now into the practices, it's been, you know, I think we're probably, I'm kind of happy where we're at. I wish we were a little bit further ahead. At the same time, it's new and different concepts, but, you know, I think, you know, given a new offense, things are rolling along.
It's probably difficult on multiple levels because not only are the players attempting to grasp new concepts and new terminology, but I'm sure the coaches are in the same boat, right? I mean, you guys have been working on this now for months.
Yeah, no, and that's it. So, I mean, again, on paper, everything looks great. Once you get on field and you do timing and other things, and it's, you know, you're having to tweak things and adjust things here and there. And so, you know, that's what we're finding out as a football staff. You know, paper doesn't always necessarily translate when you start running it out there. And so it's been good for us that way to work some things out.
Running the spread, Coach, or at least elements of the spread, at the high school level, there's so much pressure that's put on a quarterback to make sure that he's reading the defense properly when the team lines up. And I mean, is that fair? Is that kind of where the spread offense will either succeed or not necessarily fail, but at least not be as productive as you would envision it? I mean, does a lot of this just fall on Kyson Stilson and making sure that he can read what the opposing team is doing?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's where it comes down to, is our quarterback has to be a pretty smart kid and has to be able to understand concepts. And again, like you talked about, reads and seeing what the defense is doing and adjusting that way. But, you know, he's a kid that, you know, kind of sees that type of stuff. And that's what makes it nice, is for the fact that, you know, that's what I try to correlate to him, is, you know, it's just like basketball. It's, you know, taking what the defense gives you and, you know, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but, you know, you're going with percentages at that point, you know. So at that point, you know, I think he's good at that and understands that. And once we start getting that nailed down, you know, I think we'll be just fine.
You guys still have several kids that can, or multiple kids that can run the ball effectively, at least we hope, right? I mean, that's still going to be a staple of the offense, the ground attack.
Oh, it is. I mean, that's what we have to do that. You know, I don't think it's one of those we're going to air it out. When we talk spread, we're still, I mean, our main bread and butter is, you know, we got to move the ball between the tackles and on the outsides and the edges. And so if you don't do that, you can't throw the ball. So,
how different is it, Coach, when kids start practicing once again, especially for the returners? And again, I can't remember off the top of my head how many underclassmen actually played solid minutes at varsity, but there is a new quarterback and there are new faces. There's new senior leadership. I mean, how long does it take for that to actually, for kids to adjust to that?
You know, it takes a little bit. Like you say, I think that the summer was the, the telltale of, you know, who's the kids so far as my seniors and even some juniors that are going to step up and help be leaders on this team. And so, you know, we've kind of made that transition. And I think the kids are seeing, okay, hey, it's, you know, it's my senior year and, you know, coaches have some expectations for me. And, you know, you're starting to see some kids step up. And so, you know, I think our summer program is what's designed to get those kids to make that transition easier.
Again, we're joined right now by Coach John Famallo of the Emory Spartan and football team. Coach, let's flip sides. Let's talk defense here for a moment. Last year, you guys were on point defensively, one of the top teams in the 3A classification on that side of the ball. And in fact, you guys were in several games because of big plays, the big play capability that you had defensively. It's something that I really didn't see a lot of in the 3A classification. We had teams that could prevent teams from scoring, but you guys had big play capability. Is that something that that you see once again this year? And how important is it going to be defensively for you guys to hang with some of these teams in the 3A classification?
You know, that's what we're going to have to hang our hat on this year, Jordan. I mean, we had some, you know, if anything, that's where we have experience coming back. When you got Hoffman, Drake Hoffman, Easton, that's played, you know, 3 years there. Colton Wilson, Gus Garcia, some kids that got some time last year. And so, you know, I think defensively we're way ahead of where we were last year. You know, I think that's where we're going to have to keep ourselves in ball games, is defensively get stops and get ourselves off the field, and then we run ball control on the other end. And so, you know, I think if we can get some kids flying around, which I think we are, I think defensively, you know, I feel good about where we're at defensively.
Size-wise, there's obviously a big discrepancy this year for you guys offensively in the trenches. I would assume that that translates on the defensive side of the ball as well, right? I mean, you guys are smaller up front.
You know what? Actually, on the defensive side, we're actually pretty stout. You know, A.C. Reeves, he's, you know, probably a 300-pound kid that can move really well. I think he's going to have a great year. You got Drake as an end. You know, he was as a tackle. I got Landon Fairbanks. He's another kid that's, you know, pushing 300 pounds that can move pretty well. So, you know, I'm hoping, you know, though, that four front four is going to be pretty stout, similar to what we had last year. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily translate to the offensive side, because some of those kids, we're getting more athletic kids on the offensive side of the ball on the line. So it's a little bit different, but I think we have some size to kind of shore up there on the defensive end.
Coach, you and I were talking off of the cuff about numbers, and this was a conversation we had earlier in the week with Coach Josh Huntsman as well at Carbon High School. Numbers for you guys, you're going to float around that 45 mark. That's a little bit down. I mean, is that just something that I think schools from around the state have to embrace with everything that's going on as far as concussion studies in football? Is that a direct correlation to the decrease in numbers?
It's hard to say. You know, I think where we're at, I can't say that we've had a lot of kids, you know, experiencing, you know, some concussion type things where, you know, that's scaring kids away. I think other kids are making some other choices to do other sports, which, you know, is perfectly fine, because a lot of those kids, you know, when I was growing up, we all played football. So just that mindset of a few different other choices for kids to do sports that way and, you know, not loving football. You know, that's kind of something we're up against. And, you know, when you struggle getting wins, and that's probably been within the last, you know, 5 to 7, 10 years, you know, it's tough to get kids. If you win, kids will come out. And so, and, you know, that's that. We're on that cusp of, you know, we gotta push through that and start winning some ball games or to get some kids excited about football again.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question in high school sports, right? I mean, if you get the kids out, the kids want to come out if you're winning, but the only way you can win is if you get the kids out. So how do you pull that one?
How do you fight that? That's a good question. We talk about it every day as a coaching staff. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the kids that come out and want to play, you know, I'm ready to go to battle with those kids. You know, I just assume, you know, we are what we are. We can wish we had so-and-so and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I've got the kids who want to be there, and we're going to battle and make the most of it.
With the decrease in numbers, Coach, how much emphasis do you have to put on these younger kids for next week's Black and Gold game?
I think that's what a lot of it is. I mean, our Black and Gold game format may be a little bit different than, you know, what people have seen in the past, just because numbers-wise, you know, we may have, you know, our number ones going against the number twos on offense, and then, you know, we may switch it up. And so, but the younger kids, that's a great opportunity to kind of see which kids want to play and who are good and, you know, have a good feel for it. And so, but the older teams are probably going to have a little bit different format in that Black and Gold game.
I know the last time we talked, I asked you how much easier it was going to year two of the head coaching tenure instead of year one, and you said it was tremendously easier. Is that still the case, or is it about what it was like at this time last year?
Like you say, I feel like I have a little bit better grasp on it. The administrative part of it, I can kind of put that behind me, as now I know, okay, well, that's what I have to expect. But at the same time, I still enjoy coaching, and I feel like the concepts and things we're teaching kids are, it's been good that way for me. So I feel like I'm ahead of where I was last year.
Definitely don't want to get too far ahead, Coach, but not that far off. I mean, we're, 15 days away from the first game of the season. At what point do you actually start preparing for your opponent, or even going into non-league play? Is that something you stray away from for a while and you just focus on you?
I think we focus on us. I mean, we've got 2 days next week, wrap up practice, this week. And so, I think Richfield will probably come into our radar the week of, and we'll kind of game plan that way. And so, we just got to work out the things that we need to and worry about us these first, next week and a half. And then after that, we concentrate on Richfield and, take them as the games come.
Around this time of the year, people get excited about the season because we've gone so long without football. So you start reading into what other teams have. I don't know if you do that. I mean, obviously, it's my job to do that. But at the same time, you look at the 3A North. How excited are you to compete in this division?
I think there's a few clear favorites in the North when you look at it. But I mean, in that middle bottom half, I think it's a toss up. And so as a coaching staff, we think we have some opportunities if we can steal some wins, and, we might put ourselves in a good position to, have a home game, that playing game. So, for us, I think it's just opportunity, and the kids have to look at it as such, is that there's some great opportunities to put yourselves in a good position to, win some ball games.
Between now and that Richfield contest, and we'll end with this, Coach, offensively and defensively, what are aspects that you see you guys have to improve on? Some of the aspects that you look at right now and you say, okay, we got to get better in this realm if we want to compete against Richfield and moving forward?
The biggest thing offensively, we've just got to get our core plays down, that half a dozen to 10 plays. If we can get really good at those concepts, and I think we're starting to roll that way, I think we'll be just fine. Defensively, like I say, I feel good about where we're at. Otherwise, I mean, it's just physicality and the mentality of, hey, we just got to grit and grind, and we just really got to get in shape because I got a lot of kids playing Ironman football. So that's the biggest focus for me, is get kids in shape, because we're going to have to play four quarters of Ironman football with a lot of kids.
And what's been the most, I guess, pleasantly surprising aspect up to this point?
Just the attitude of the kids, with losing so many seniors, and, there could be a lot of, this and that, I think the kids are fired up and they're ready for a challenge, and that's good to see. I don't have that oh, hey, we're not gonna have a chance attitude. I haven't seen that once from any of those kids. They're all willing to step up and battle, and that's been good to see as a coach.
Coach, it is always fun to talk Emory High School football with you. Again, thank you very much for the time, and I know we'll do it again soon.
Hey, appreciate it, Jordan. Thank you.
Again, that's Coach John Famalo of the Emory Sport and Football Team. Do not forget Emory Richfield, August 18th. We are 15 days away from the start of the high school football season. And again, next week, it's going to be the black and gold game. We'll talk about that in the next week or so. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we will talk college football. The top 25 USA Today coaches poll, the preseason rankings, they were released today. No surprise at the top. Bama won. We have Ohio State 2, Florida State 3. That sets up number 1 versus number 3 to open up the season. We'll talk about that when we return.